Pray with me. Father, we thank you that your name means power, and that your name gives life. Bless the word of God today. May we understand, may we apply, and may we become one flesh. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Just a few days ago, Las Vegas geared up for a large number of weddings and vow renewals. You might know that it was because of the date, September 9th, 2009, 9909. And so we shouldn't be surprised also that nine couples in Hollywood spent 99 cents each to get married at the 99-cent store. It's on Sunset Boulevard. And we have been talking about how the enemy attacks the institutions that have come out of the Garden of Eden. The Sabbath, the state of the dead, and that also includes the institution of marriage. And we have been talking about that. Just if I might switch just for a moment, be careful with dates. Adventists know something about dating. You may have heard about the hijackers that hijacked the plane in Mexico City, because 9909 to them upside down meant 666. And they believe an earthquake was coming, so they had to talk to the president of Mexico. Be careful about those numbers. Last week, we highlighted three scriptures, Genesis chapter 2 and verse 24, Matthew chapter 19 and verse 5, and Ephesians 5, 31. All of these passages, Moses, Jesus, and Paul. And you might remember the scripture. It says, "For this reason, a man shall leave father and mother and be joined to his wife, and the two shall be what, everybody? One flesh." And Paul finishes the passage by saying, "This is a great mystery, but I speak concerning Christ and the church." And I mentioned briefly that we know certainly about God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, one God. And God's goal for us, for husband and wife, is to become one flesh. We talked about that a week or so ago. But today I'd like to share with you that that's not an easy thing to accomplish, becoming one flesh. And so I'd like to talk about that this morning with the title of the sermon, "Will You Still Love Me If You Know Me?" Soon as the ceremony is over, and we've been told to become one flesh, an uncoupling effect takes over. You will find out very soon that even though you love one another, that you are different. A couple that's married for 40 years will have nearly 15,000 nights in which to find out how challenging it is to become one. And I'd like to get right to the meat, because I want to share with you, as we've talked about how Satan attacks, how he attacks marriage, the institution. One way that he attacks is he always attacks the physical aspect of marriage. He always attacks the physical aspect of marriage. Now, I hope that those of you who are adults will be able to understand when I say the physical aspect. It's broad, but I do want to liken it to an area that the devil always attacks. I dare not say sexual. The last time I preached on it, several people never came back. And I really mean that. So I'm very careful now. And that'll probably be the last time I'll use that word. You wouldn't think God's people would be that narrow, but that's the deal. Couples, we cannot forget the physical aspect, and the devil always attacks in this area. And if you're contemplating marriage, you must take this into consideration. Because if you marry the one you love, and all of a sudden that individual hates the physical aspect, it can cause love to turn into hate. It can be used as a weapon against you. So never discount the physical aspect of marriage. Why is that important? I want you to turn in your Bible. I want you to see this passage. You can read it in your own spare time. It's 1 Corinthians chapter 7. I'm glad that God put this there, because if I would have made this up on my own, I'd have been in real trouble. But God put it there. In 1 Corinthians chapter 7, God gives language in a very plain way. And I'm going to read starting at verse 1 while you follow along in 1 Corinthians chapter 7. Now, concerning the things of which you wrote to me, it is good for a man not to touch a woman. I hope you'll take it in its context. Nevertheless, because of the sexual immorality, let each man have his own what, everybody? And let each woman have her own what, everybody? Husband. Let the husband render to his wife the what? Affection to her. That is not only mental, that's physical. The physical aspect of marriage. And I say that Satan always attacks in this area. The wife does not have authority over her own body. It's talking about not only the mental or the intimate, just talking about the physical. But the husband does. And likewise, the husband does not have authority over his own body, but the wife does. Now look at verse 5. Do not deprive one another except with consent for a time, that you may give yourselves to fasting and praying, and come together again, so that Satan does not tempt you because of your lack of self-control. Did you see that passage? Fast and pray. But you can't just do all fasting and praying. And I'll leave it there. The Bible says, come together afterwards so that Satan cannot tempt. And I tell you, that's hardly a day go by where something of the physical is not in the news. I mean, it touches everyone. Doesn't matter how prominent you are. Doesn't matter if you're a congressperson or not, it attacks. It touches people. Be careful. Satan loves to attack the physical. You know, God made man and woman, And these are the challenges that we have when we join together at becoming one. We are still individuals. You see, God has given each person an exact plan for their lives. God, you got to remember this when you're joining together, coming as one, that God still made you a separate individual. Now, it seems like it's contradictive. Because he's telling you to become one, but yet you're separate, and you're finding out every day how different you are. God, you know how God puts it? He puts it very plain. He lets us know that he makes distinction, because God in Genesis 1 and verse 27, so God created man in his own image, in the image of God. He created him, male and female. He created them. God set up distinctions between man and woman. If you hear anything else, it's not of God. How far are we to go with these distinctions, this becoming one? I'm going to ask you a question. How comfortable are you with the Word of God? Are you comfortable with the Word of God? Well, let me show you something that makes me uncomfortable. It's in the Word of God. It makes me uncomfortable. It's the book of Hosea. It's a book that talks about Israel, if you'll turn to the book of Hosea. Talks about, what intrigues me, it talks about Israel, the northern kingdom, in its last days. And anytime I hear last days, my antenna goes up. So it's talking, the prophet Hosea is talking to Israel in its last days as a nation, the northern kingdom. He bears the message of a last day message to the northern kingdom. Outwardly, Israel was prosperous. It was successful. The only other time that they were probably more prosperous and more successful was the time of David and Solomon. Other than this, this was the most prosperous time of Israel. But yet, outward, inwardly, spiritually, you would think they'd be close to God at the end of their reign as a nation. But they were far from God spiritually. They had political anarchy. And what they would do when a king would take the throne in northern Israel, it wouldn't be long before they were assassinated. If you study the history, it's more than interesting how many leaders were assassinated in Hosea's day, one after the other. And so all they did was spend time looking to see what was coming into their back. It's in this setting. You remember last week I told you there are some things that are mysteries? This is somewhat of a mystery to me. God, look at chapter 1 of Hosea. Now, we want this to be an allegory. But this doesn't say this. When the Lord began to speak by Hosea, the Lord said to Hosea, look at this in verse 2, go take yourself a wife of harlotry and children of harlotry, for the land has committed great harlotry by departing from the Lord. And if you'll read the entire book of Hosea, in fact, if I had not read this for myself, if I had not read this to you and you had not looked at this, you would declare that this is not in the Bible. And some are uncomfortable with the fact that this is in the Bible. You know, if you brought home your fiance and everybody in town knew her, this would not be well accepted. God's telling Hosea to become one. I said some things are a mystery. Now, I know it's talking about Israel. I know it's likened Hosea to God and Gomer, his wife, to the children of Israel. I know that. I think you know that. But to even say it like that, how could Hosea go in that direction? Well, I'd like to talk about marriage just for a moment. When we marry, we want to know what we're getting into. And we are not quite sure. Now, we'll never tell you that. But we want to know will you still love me if you know me? You know why we think that in our heads? Because we know people. We know that we are mean and we are petty and we hurt people, and some of us are cold and we're stubborn and we're sick and we're abused, we are cheap, we are sloppy, we are lazy, and I can go on. But that's not here at Fallbrook. And if I went on long enough, I would find one of those traits connected with myself. I've asked this before, I'll ask it again in some other sermon. Would you want to be married to you? That's deep. I say yes. Because everyone wants someone to want you. But will they still love you if they get to know you? Well, the book of Hosea shows Hosea going back and forth to get his wife when she was being unfaithful. And the only way that I can answer Hosea is because I understand John 3:16. That's the only way Hosea makes any sense to me. Because God so loved the world that he was willing to give his life for me. That's the only way it makes sense to me. My wife and I are becoming one flesh. But it's not because we are the same. We are quite different. We are becoming one flesh because we share the same spiritual values. That's why we're becoming one flesh. Not because we are the same. We are quite different. In fact, you will find sometimes that you do not even share the same religious values. Now, you can share the same spiritual values and not necessarily the same religious values. I did not grow up a Seventh-day Adventist Christian. In some ways, to my detriment, my wife grew up a Seventh-day Adventist Christian. So we differ on religious values. Oh, you don't have to say anything. And we probably will never agree on certain religious values. That has to be all right for you. But one thing for sure, we share the same spiritual values. My wife loves the Lord, and I love the Lord. My wife is planning to meet Jesus one day, and I plan to meet him too. And we both plan to make heaven our home. That's what keeps us going. All you're going to find as you continue, as God says, become one, you're going to find out how different you are. I found that I cannot live up to the high standards of marriage based on myself. I need a heart like Jesus. In fact, I'm not really sure that I really want to be known. So I like to hide stuff and keep just a little bit back. Because I'm not sure I can totally trust. In fact, I say that because I can't trust myself. And I'm worried that if you really get to know me, would you like me? I didn't say love. I said, would you like me? The devil always attacks the physical. He loves to get the saints sick. He messes with our health while we're eating health food. Come on, isn't that right? That's what he does. He always attacks the physical. He likes to spend time trying to convince you that you're not lovable. And that no one really loves me, especially my spouse, because why else would they not pay attention to everything I say? I hope that you don't have that attitude. We are different. And despite what they say, and you found your soulmate, sometimes we think it's our clone. And you will not find your clone. That's why the only way that you can become one flesh, in a marriage. And Satan does not want what I'm getting ready to tell you to be told. Now, I think it's ironic that I said he attacks the physical. You saw me walk off here and go back there. I got sick. I wasn't sick when I left home today. I'm not saying this so you can feel sorry for me. The sermon is almost over anyway. But he doesn't want you to know what I'm getting ready to tell you. He would have you know anything other than the gospel of Jesus Christ, the good news of Jesus' salvation. He does not want you to know that. Because if you know that as a couple, he knows you're going to become one. He would have you know anything, but not that. He does not want you to know the good news that God has come. And we'll be in that season of the year where we talk about that. He doesn't want you to know that. He doesn't want you to know that he's coming again. I want to end with two stories that struck me this week. One was the 8th anniversary of 9/11. Every one of us will know where we were at the time and what we were doing at 8:46 a.m. We all remember that. It's hard to believe that 100-story buildings just crumbled in front of our eyes as they were struck by the hijacked airlines. This week, 500 families gathered at the site. And even though I hear that, it's hard for me to comprehend what happened. But I do know that Satan always attacks the physical. And if you go back to the story, the story of the Christ child, what did he do in order to try and eradicate Christ? I'm going to get all the kids two years old and below. Have them killed. He always attacks the physical. So if you're not feeling well, if you get sick, if your loved one gets sick, if your spouse gets sick, know that the devil is on your trail. It's what he does. And then the other story. About a month ago, Diane Shuler packed up her two children and her three nieces into the minivan. She was in upstate New York at a campground, and she was heading back home to Long Island. As she was leaving, her friend said, "Have a safe trip." And she said, "We will." And she got in her car, and I'm not sure exactly when it happened, but she drove 2 miles in the wrong direction on one of the parkways in New York. And she hit an SUV that had three persons inside, and 8 people were killed. That story really struck me, and I know there's controversy going on now. They found her blood alcohol was twice the legal limit. She had marijuana in the system, according to the police. And they're arguing that. The husband says that can't be so, and they're saying, that's not even what I want to even talk about. What I will tell you is that the devil will attack the physical, be it health, be it the other aspect. That's what he does. If you're married, if you're contemplating marriage, do me a favor. Do not neglect the physical. Being holding one another's hand, be it putting your arms around the person's shoulder, means hugging your kids. You can take it wherever you want to go from. You can handle where. Don't neglect the physical. In fact, when God says becoming one flesh, You know, you can even, from a state standpoint, get out of out of your marriage if you don't make sure that the one flesh takes place from the physical. Don't forget that. And you gave these two stories. Why did you give these two stories? 9/11 and now the story about the woman that was killed and the seven others. You know why? And this is why I love Jesus. Because he is the only one that could take a situation like that and reverse it. It's God who is the resurrection and the life. There's no one like Jesus. There's no one for your marriage like Jesus. If you're planning to get married, you need Jesus. In order to become one flesh, you need Jesus. How many believe that today? The devil might attack the physical, but I'm putting my faith in the one that can resurrect us and make us brand new. I would ask you today, and I would answer, would you still love me? If you know me, well, there's no way. There's no way no one could stay with me based on me. No one could love me based on me. But Jesus loves me. Jesus loves you. You can't be so terrible that Jesus doesn't love you. Do you believe that today? Jesus will not forget you. In fact, he goes out and searches for us. And guess what happened to Israel? They did not follow God. And they were destroyed by the Assyrians. Isn't that tragic? Isn't that tragic? The Lord wants to save us. What a powerful book the book of Hosea does. It shows how much God is willing to go and bring us back and to save us. So why would you leave his church? Huh? Always baffled by that. Let's pray. Father, we thank you. Lord, first of all, Lord, we ask you to forgive us. We ask you, Lord, to heal us and to restore us. Lord, even though the devil attacks the physical, he attacks us with our health, he attacks us in so many different ways as it relates to that. He even attacks us by telling us that we're not lovable. But Lord, we're not going to fall for that. Because the Son of God came down to die for us. We can never repay you, but we can love you, and we can love one another and become one. And we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Today, we normally have a